All right. Well, basically moving out of the super competitive classes, we also have auto rifles and we have scout rifles. We're not going to spend as much time on this simply for the reason that due to a series of nerfs for auto rifles, they are no longer as competitive as they once were. There was a period of time where the Doctrine of Passing was one of the best weapons in the Crucible. It suffered a little bit of a damage nerf. Some other weapons came up that were just, quite frankly, more powerful, and it's you don't really see too many of them out there, but it's still a really, really good gun. And I believe, Cougar, you're going to be talking about the Doctrine. Is that correct?
All right. The Doctrine of Passing is an auto rifle in the 100/2 archetype, 100 rate of fire, 2 impact. This is the highest rate of fire weapon in the game. And as you can imagine, it has some of the most unbelievable flinch in the game. Just right off the bat, that is one of the greatest advantages of the Doctrine of Passing. The range stat at base is 15, which is pretty much average for this archetype. Stability at base is 42. Magazine size is 60. Aim assistance of 66. Recoil direction of 60. So the options for your scopes are the fast draw iron sights with extra stability, the red dot ORA with slightly improved zoom, and the OEG rifle scope. Right off the bat, you're going to want to run either the ORA or the rifle scope. The ORA is probably your better all-round choice. It's just a little bit of extra zoom, but that extra zoom does extend your damage fall off. For the first active column, you will always have persistence. This is a fixed roll. This gun, aside from the final active perk, will always have the exact same perks in the exact same place. So persistence in the passive column, you can either run brace frame or small bore. I prefer to run small bore with the ORA just to get a little bit more range squeezed out of it, but you can always run the ORA or the rifle scope with braced frame to have much higher stability. And the final active column, the best perk you can get is counterbalance. I know we've talked about it being a crutch perk, but when it comes to the 100/2 auto rifle archetype, counterbalance is almost required. It's very, very useful for keeping your shots grouped in the same area.
Yeah, just watching the recoil pattern of these guns with and without counterbalance, it's such a stark difference.
Yeah, even I, who don't like counterbalance, agree on the 100/2s, it's pretty much necessary. I mean, these guns are bullet hoses, and they're all over the place. And without counterbalance, it's really, really difficult to control them. It's why nobody used the 100/2 auto rifles in the very early stages of the game, even though they still killed just as fast as they do now, actually a little bit faster, but they were still very, very quick killers in the beginning of the game. And nobody used them because it was impossible to get a roll with counterbalance and something like braced frame. So even I, who hates counterbalance, agree it's definitely necessary.
Yeah, very much so. I mentioned the flinch being its greatest assets. I do have to talk about the overall weakness of really all auto rifles, but the 100/2 in specific. Unlike Pulse, Scout, or hand cannons, you cannot break line of sight when you're using an auto rifle. You have got to stay outside of cover and stationary enough to keep your aim on target. So you will be open to return fire at all times when you're using an auto rifle.
And that's especially bad when everyone you're playing against is using hand cannons and can dodge in and out of cover easily. It's part of the reason why they've fallen off as hard as they have. If you do catch someone in the open, I don't know if there's any better way to put down a charging shotgunner than with a 100/2 auto rifle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're absolutely amazing. They just burn through people, and they're so fast you barely even have to aim for headshots. It's 1.07 seconds to kill someone with all body shots. And of course, you're going to hit some headshots. It just makes it even faster than that. So they're quite amazing guns when used correctly, but you're kind of limited in the way you can play. And I may miss it, but did we say where we could get the Doctrine of Passing from in the current state of the game?
I did not mention that, but the only way you can get a Doctrine of Passing at this point in time is to play Trials of Osiris and complete a gold bounty. You have a small chance of getting Year 2 Taken King weapons, and the Doctrine of Passing is included among those.
All right, anything else to say about the Doctrine of Passing, or can we move on to a similar but different gun?
The one thing I would just say about the Doctrine, as far as obtaining it for, again, any newer players listening, anybody who's just picked up the game who hears this podcast, it does drop from Trials of Osiris, which is essentially in-game PvP. Don't let that be a deterrent from pursuing this gun. You can go in and do the bounties, and even if you don't win all that much, you still have an opportunity to get some great rewards from that game mode. And it's a great way also to kind of expose yourself to just you know, what the skill curve is in PvP, and to see how good people really can get at the game. You know, so if you're up for a challenge, if you're okay with potentially losing a whole bunch, pursue those bounties. You can do the gold bounty every day now. Every day that Trials is open, I should say. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you can do that gold bounty and get a chance at the Doctrine of Passing. So it's worth the time if you're interested in that. Moving on, though, like you said, Merc, to a similar and yet very different gun, the Soulstealer's Claw is the House of Judgment. High rate of fire, low impact auto rifle. So it's the same archetype as Doctrine of Passing. But this one is going to come as a faction reward from Varix in the Reef. You'll get faction with him primarily from completing Challenge of Elders and bounties. You also get it from any Prison of Elders gameplay that you do there in the Reef. So that's how you'll rank that up and get this gun. If you're like me, it's going to drop like candy. If you're like Cougar, you're not going to see a good one, I think, ever. I don't know.
I still haven't seen one, period.
Okay, so it's random, you know, RNG. But if you can get it, oh my gosh. The Soulstealer's Claw, in my opinion, I think we agreed on this when we did the low impact auto rifle episode, is probably the best gun in this archetype. It is ridiculous how good it is. The base range is 24, which is, of course, you know, head and shoulders above most of the other guns you're going to get out of this archetype. The only one that competes is the Crucible Hexcaster. But that gun's stability is just junk, and the Soulstealer's Claw stability is 37, which is just about as good as you can get. It's not quite as good base as the Doctrine or the Arminius, but it's very, very good for the archetype. It's a full 5 points above some of the other vendor guns in this archetype, and it's about 16 points ahead of the Hexcaster, which is the other low-impact auto rifle with the same setup as this one. So it's very good stat-wise. It's got 80 aim assist, which is also excellent. Stands, you know, far above the Hexcaster, on the same level as Doctrine of Passing, when you factor in the Doctrine comes with persistence built in. So the Soulstealer's Claw, perk-wise, one of the big differences between Soulstealers and Doctrine of Passing is that you cannot get Braced Frame. It doesn't roll on the gun. So what you're looking for instead is Perfect Balance, which is not quite as big of a stability boost. But that's totally okay because you've got much higher base aim assist. You don't have to wait for your shots to kick in to boost it up. And then you're still looking for Counterbalance as well. And then in the mid column there, you've got a few different options. To one mindset, it doesn't really matter what you get. None of them are all that great. Personally, I would recommend Single Point Sling or Quick Draw. Both of those are going to increase your equip speed, which is really nice, especially if you're using this as a defensive weapon to hose down shotgun rushers, which are just all over the place these days. Single point sling will also increase your strafe speed, while ADS, which is actually pretty nice. It's just that it makes you a little bit faster while you're zoomed in, makes it much easier to track people while hopefully not getting tracked yourself. And then quick draw, of course, is just the biggest handling boost that you can get, so that's going to increase your equip speed, your ADS speed. It's just a great perk. Other than that, not really much to say that we didn't talk about with the Doctrine of Passing. Just some slight differences, but this gun with its higher base range is just fantastic. I guess, Cougar, you're the scopes guy for me. You know the scopes really well. I think the red dot OAS and the red dot ORES are the two that we usually talk about on this gun.
For this one, the OAS would be the top overall. I think the OES may be right there at second place with the ORES.
Mm-hmm.
The OES has the 12 stability. The ORES has the split between range and stability.
Do you recall what the OAS is doing for us there?
The OAS is 14 stability with 5 aim assist.
Okay, yeah. So it's pushing your aim assist up to absolute max. And then that extra stability, you know, kind of helps make up the difference in comparison with Doctrine. So excellent gun there for anybody looking for a high rate of fire auto rifle.
If I can jump in real quick, there is one major difference between the Doctrine of Passing and all of the other 102 auto rifles, and that is the ability to roll counterbalance with persistence. I don't think I mentioned this when I was talking about the Doctrine, but it is the, like I said, the only one that can roll that. And what that does is persistence after a period of time at full auto fire will reduce your bloom cone to a much smaller size, allowing you to be much, much more accurate with your shot placement while still keeping your vertical recoil. So it's much easier to handle and much more accurate after persistence kicks in, and it is the only 102 auto rifle that can do so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like the Soul Stealer's Claw a lot. It's my favorite of the 102 auto rifles. I love it in Supremacy, especially because everything's so close range in there, and I refuse to use a shotgun, just point blank. So I love the Soul Stealer's Claw. Plus, it looks cool, too. It's one of the few guns that I use that actually has the chroma on it that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't have too much to add about it, though, besides that.
It does look insane with that chroma. It's so good. I've got it in red and blue, I think. So it's worth collecting, definitely. But then, Merc, I think you've got something different to talk about here as far as auto rifles go. Something maybe for somebody still working to get comfortable with the game, with the mechanics to use, am I right?
Well, yeah, because what's basically going on is auto rifles just as a whole aren't a super competitive class, but there is a kind of forgiving, easier to use class of auto rifles than the 102s. It's the mid-impact ones. There's quite a few weapons in there, but the one that really stands out to me is called the Zarinaya D. It's actually from the Gunsmith. It's one of the few auto rifles from year two on that have a year one recoil pattern. And what I mean by that is it's a mostly vertical recoil pattern. Back in year one, all the auto rifles had that. And in year two and onward, almost none of them have vertical recoil patterns, at least none of the mid-impact or low-impact, which are the two that are most usable right now. The Zarinaya D does have a vertical recoil pattern. Recoil direction 70 by default means you don't need counterbalance on it, which is very, very nice. You can control it on your own. It's got, you know, pretty good base stability of 60, a magazine size of 40, decent aim assist of 60. Overall, it's just a really, really solid weapon. The gunsmith sells it relatively often. He sells good rolls relatively often. It's just not hard to get. And if you don't really like the 102s because of how, I don't want to say inaccurate they are, but how much of a bullet hose archetype it is, definitely give the Zarinaya a shot. And I mean, in terms of perks, it's a really super easy god roll, in my opinion. SC Hollow is the only sight I even really try to shoot for on these guns. It's got a great reticle, a circular one. It adds aim assist. It's low zoom. It's basically everything you want for this type of gun. And column two, there's not really any great perks. I mean, crowd control is probably the best of the bunch. Like, the second best would be maybe Hot Swap or Army of One. And then in column three, I like to do rangefinder, just to increase that damage fall distance, because that's one of the worst problems that auto rifles have right now is their damage fall off is so aggressive. It's so quick. You can also get counterbalance if you really feel like for some reason you still want that vertical recoil pattern. And then in column four, braced frame, small bore, rifled barrel. I'd probably only take rifled barrel if I got counterbalance in column three and didn't have the option of rangefinder. If I got rangefinder, braced frame is like, that's my god roll that I'm looking for. I am still to this day waiting for an SC holo, rangefinder, braced frame, Zaranea. I have SC holo, crowd control, rangefinder, small bore. I'm so close. I'm one thing off. And the small bore one is still absolutely fantastic. I love it. It's a cool looking gun. It's a fun gun to play with, but I want that braced frame for that maximum stability. I call this, I guess, a dark horse gun of the Crucible. You just don't see it ever, like ever. If you take it into the Crucible, you'll probably be the only person using it. But it is really, really, truly underrated. It's just super easy to use. It feels good. It gives you a little taste of what ARs were like back in the day when they were actually still dominant. And that's why I play for it. It's a little bit of a trip down memory lane. But it's such an uncommon gun. I mean, there's not really that much to say about it. It's just a simple, hardworking, good gun. So I doubt you guys have anything to add, because if I had to guess, probably nobody else has ever played with it. But
I'm actually a huge fan of the Zaranea D. One thing I guess I would mention as well, in that same column with rangefinder and counterbalance, you do also have persistence available. So if you get a persistence drop, Cougar just talked about how great that perk is, and you've got a big enough mag to really take advantage of it here with 40 rounds. So that's one of my probably top recommended perks for this gun to watch out for. The other thing that you could go for would be something like rangefinder small bore. Definitely would not throw that away, because that's going to give you a ton of effective range comparative to other auto rifles. It's going to make it, really, I wouldn't say, competitive with a bad pulse rifle or anything, but it's going to at least put you in the same ballpark range-wise as far as being able to hit targets at a distance. So, and the perk tree is small, so you're going to get a good roll. So I'd pick it up for sure.
Cougar, got anything to add on that?
I've played with it a little. Really, all I can say is it's a very consistent workhorse gun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that leads us to our last class, I guess, the scout rifles. We picked a few scout rifles here, one of which is probably going to be the closest thing to an off-meta weapon, which I still feel is the best. It's going to be the Chaos Dogma. We're going to save that for last. We've got the Angel's Advocate and the Distant Star up first.
You know, like you said, probably the Chaos Dogma is worth talking about here. Definitely what a lot of people would consider off-meta, but since we can't talk about the Mida, I guess let's talk about Diet Mida here. The Distant Star was available from the Iron Banner pretty recently here, so I think there are a lot of people out there that have a good roll. I know I've got a decent roll that I, due to my vacation and SRL, have not been able to really try out yet, but the way this gun works, it's kind of an odd archetype. It didn't even exist as a legendary archetype up until Rise of Iron. I think maybe we used to have one. I'm not sure. Maybe it was only the Mida.
High Road Soldier.
That's, yeah, so there was one. There was one back in year one, and we didn't see it again for a long, long time. And now it's back. So with this gun, you're looking to hit 3 crits and 1 body for a 0.9 second time to kill, which is a competitive time to kill. Not as fast as you'd like to see it, but certainly fast enough to be worth using. With the rate of fire of 42 and the impact of 37, you're going to be doing 57 damage on a crit, 38 on a body. The Distant Star's range is 59, stability is 40. Aim assist is 70, is very solid. And the mag size of 14 is kind of on the small side. That's the big change with these guns in comparison with the Mida. The Mida's got like 7 more rounds than the Distant Star or Angel's Advocate, which is just a crushing advantage, frankly. But we're not talking about it, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Perk-wise, what you want from the Distant Star, scopes, I mean, just pick what feels good. You know, don't agonize over it. Give them each a try. Go with whatever feels right to you. Personally, I prefer the red dot, but don't take that as the gospel. moving on from there, you're looking for perfect balance to bump your stability up. You definitely want a little bit more stability because this is a pretty high rate of fire gun. High caliber rounds, definitely feels right on this gun. That's going to give you some nice extra flinch. It's going to make it hurt when you hit the other guy, going to make it a lot harder for him to shoot back. And then in the final column, look for Zen Moment or Hidden Hand. Zen Moment is actually a really great stability boost. It kind of doesn't sound all that impressive if you just read the description, but it definitely builds up quickly, and it makes every follow-up shot that much easier to control, and especially if you're playing 6v6, you're going to be keeping Zen Moment active quite a bit. And then Hidden Hand, of course, is just always a great perk to have. Makes every shot count for a little bit more, helps those shots that might just barely have missed actually land instead. So that's about all there is to it, though. Diet Mida. Let's go to Mida Zero with the Angel's Advocate. Cougar, do you have that one pulled up?
Yep, I've got the Angel's Advocate right here. I'm not going to go over this whole gun. There is very little to differentiate it from the Distant Star. Almost the exact same base stats. It has 67 aim assist, 14 mag size, 44 stability, 59 range. Nothing different there. As far as the perks go, for scopes you want reflex. It obviously does not have the same scope pool, perk pool, as the Distant Star. Your active columns, for active column 1 you'll want life support, Zen Moment, Eye of the Storm, or Outlaw. For column 3, this is one of the largest differences. You can roll explosive rounds, which, in my opinion, are infinitely better for flinch and distracting your opponent. They cause a massive amount of flinch, and for a frame or two, they actually completely white out your opponent's screen. But as far as the passive column goes, that's really the only big difference. For your final active column, you're looking for Hidden Hand or Reactive Reload. So again, not too much different from the Distant Star.
I mean, those two weapons are just very, very similar. And like you said, they both serve the purpose of just being a legendary substitute for the Mida, which is probably the best scout rifle in the game right there. And we'll save that for another time when we talk about exotic weapons. But they are probably the two best legendary scout rifles out there. I mean, the mid-impact class is not good for PvP. The time to kill is horrendously slow. They're great learner weapons because they're easy. The high-impact class is a brutally unforgiving class for the most part, where if you miss a single shot, you're 99% of the time guaranteed to lose. The low-impact class, like the very low-impact class, are kind of gimmick guns. So there's not really that much else to say. Or at least I don't have that much else to say about those particular weapons.
One thing I do want to just throw out there again, pointing this out for the folks who haven't been around all that long, who are newer to Destiny, Angel's Advocate is a vendor gun. You can get it from the Vanguard Quartermaster. The roll there is not great, but it's not terrible. It does have explosive rounds, so if you want to play around with that, definitely worth picking up. You can also run it with small bore in that same column, which is a fine perk to run in its place, although the magazine size penalty does hurt. You do need every single round since you don't have a whole lot to work with. However, that is a little bit mitigated by the fact that it also comes with Outlaw and Reactive Reload, which is a great combination for piling on extra damage. Makes it much easier to pick up cleanup kills, team shoot, and all that good stuff. So definitely worth grabbing if you want to try this archetype out. And finally, I just have to encourage everybody to just try taking E and see if you can make it work for you. In a game as mobile as Destiny, unfortunately, taking E, and what that perk is, for those who don't know, it's because it has changed. Crouching grants improved accuracy and stability, as well as reduced aim down sights time and flinch under fire. So it does a whole lot of stuff for you, but you have to crouch for a full half second before it takes effect. So again, in the game as mobile as Destiny, you're not going to get a whole lot of benefit out of that on this particular gun. But, you know, it's there.
Anything else for these two scouts before we move into my personal favorite? My favorite gun in all of Destiny?
Do it. Take it away.
All right, it's a Chaos Dogma. The Chaos Dogma is my absolute favorite weapon in all of Destiny. It's one of the most unique legendary, anything's out there. It's actually a raid weapon, and I do not believe it was designed for PvP. The perks that it has are almost completely throwing themselves to PvE. They really don't help that much. It's got triple tap, and it's got triple double, and triple double actually makes it where triple tap activates, which is you get three headshots, it puts one back in the magazine, and triple double takes one from your reserve, so you get two back to the magazine every time you get three headshots. So against the boss, when you're doing DPS damage, you can basically just shoot for an endless amount of shots. I think it's something like 40-something shots you can fire before you have to reload with this gun if you hit all your headshots, which is just amazing, amazing. But what makes it so special in PvP is that it has a barrel perk that increases impact. It's the only one of the high-impact scouts that has this. And what it means is instead of doing 73 to the head and 49 to the body, it does 75 to the head and 50 to the body. And what that means is you can actually kill in two crits in one body shot instead of three crits. And you can kill in four body shots instead of five. So it takes it from being one of the most unforgiving archetypes of weapons in the game. Because the normal high-impact scouts, if you don't hit all three crits, you're not going to kill them with four body shots. You have to hit five body shots to kill them. That's 1.6 seconds. That's one of the slowest body shot times to kill in the game. You're basically screwed if you miss shots. So they're awesome weapons if you can hit all three crits every time, but not everyone can do that. It's very difficult to do. And the Chaos Dogma makes it to where not only do you not have to hit three crits, but you can kill in four body shots in 1.2 seconds. That's amazing. That's fast. Very, very fast. Like auto rifle body shot time to kill fast on a scout rifle. And one of the fastest, like a time to kill that's so fast it's competing with Clever Dragons and Grasp of Malak's. And you only have to hit 66% criticals to get a kill. It's so, so easy. The downside to that, the stability is atrocious. It is so, 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 so bad. Your reticle jumps so much, and it takes a lot of work to get used to, especially if you're coming from a scout rifle like I was that had hand-laid stock and was really, really easy to keep on target. The Hand of Judgment does not work that way. It's got great range. Not that that matters too much in PvP. You're never going to be shooting from far enough away that you experience damage fall off. The mag size is only 12 by default. You actually have the choice of extended mag or small bore in PvP. I run extended mag in PvE, and in PvP I run small bore. And you may say, why would you want to drop your mag size down to 10, which is what small bore does? And the honest truth is, because that small little bit of extra stability helps. It is noticeable. Sometimes I'll be playing in like the raid or something, and I'll come back and play some Crucible, and I'll be like, why does the gun feel like this? And I'll remember, oh, it's because I forgot to switch off of extended mag to small bore. So it actually really does help. I know it doesn't seem like much, but if you play with this gun and if you give it a shot, I think you may honestly get addicted to it. I got all the people in my clan to play with it because I was always the one who was using the Cocytus before them and getting three shot kills. And they were like, oh, that's pretty cool. Use a high impact scout, but you know, they're not really forgiving. Don't want to do it. I was like, well, try the Chaos Dogma. The Chaos Dogma works, but it's way better. I got three or four people playing with it to the point where they completely changed their styles of play. And we ended up being like a 4-man team in Rift running all Chaos Dogmas, which I think is absolutely hilarious. I've gotten tons of messages, not even hate mail. Nobody hates on me for using the Chaos Dogma, but I've gotten messages like, how are you good with that gun? It's like, well, if you used it, it's not actually that bad of a gun. You just think it is, but give it a shot. It's actually really, really good. So that is my favorite hands down legendary weapon in the Crucible right now. It is what I main. But you know, don't just take my word for it, right? Go out and try it for yourself. And I think that's all I have to say. I don't know if you guys have used the Chaos Dogma, but do you have any opinions on it?
I unfortunately do not have a Chaos Dogma. So, yeah, have not been so fortunate yet.
That breaks my heart for you.
It breaks my heart too, to be honest.
Well, what about you, Cougar? Have you ever played with it?
Well, I do have the Chaos Dogma, and I have used it in the Crucible. I definitely agree with the stability being atrocious. That's exactly what it is. Linear Compensator does a good job of making it easy to control follow-up shots, easier to control, I should say. I think the real prize about this gun is Linear Compensator's impact boost. Being able to hit two headshots in one body shot compared to the regular three headshots. is an absolute gift from God. It is so, so much easier to use compared to the other high-impact scouts.
Anything else, or are we done with scouts? Scouts aren't the most popular class, legendary-wise, in PvP right now, unfortunately, because they're my favorite class. But do we have anything else to add to that, or have we covered basically everything we want to talk about?
You know, I think we hit all the points that people need to know as far as what guns to look for, what to look for on those guns. I don't think there's anything else we can add.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to episode 24 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We will be posting this episode up in multiple parts. So you have just finished the last part of the episode. And remember to tune in next week, and we'll see you guys then. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Peace out, Guardians.
Take it easy.